I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
That's us.
It sure is.
We're here today to talk about two films.
Mm-hmm.
Both titled 13 Ghosts.
Yes, correct. The original 1960 and the 2001 remake. This is, again, a request by Hung Chachi on TikTok. Thank you for the request. Never gonna not find a way to include that name. great name.
Great name.
But yeah, we're not gonna do news today because we're talking about two movies and nothing was sparking joy. So, sorry. If you only tune in for the news section, sorry.
Catch us next week, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we get started?
Yeah, we're gonna do one after the other. We're gonna do the 60 version, and then we're gonna talk about it, fun facts, rank it, and then the 2001 version. Who should start? With
me.
A little summary. Oh, okay, good. You do it.
It's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Little summary of the 1960s version. When Cyrus Zorba and his poverty-stricken family inherit an old mansion, they can't believe their good luck. However, not long after they move in, they realize that the house is haunted by 12 ghosts and run by a housekeeper who works in the dark arts. Though the ghosts are intent on killing a member of the family, the Zorbas insist on staying in the house because they have learned that a large fortune is hidden somewhere inside it. Kind of. I feel like that summary is not great. That is what happens, but they don't really know about the fortune until the
they
one guy.
It.
Yeah.
Basically.
Anyways, whatever. It was directed by William Castle, written by Rob White, and it stars Charles Herbert, Rosemary DeCamp, and Margaret Hamilton. According to the AFI catalog, which is the only place I could find what the budget was, it cost about $500,000 to make, and it made $1.5 million at the box office. It currently has a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, a 42% audience score, and a 33% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
And a 3.1 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was surprised by the split of the ratings. 3.1 on Letterboxd feels pretty high for Letterboxd, 6 out of 10 on IMDb, and then 33 and 42 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's just like, usually it's opposite. Usually I feel like Rotten Tomatoes is a little more forgiving, or at least IMDb is definitely more forgiving.
Yeah, I feel like IMDb is usually the most forgiving, and then typically the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I feel like Letterboxd and the critic score are more similar, and usually the toughest on it.
Sure. Yeah, but on Letterboxd, 3.1 and then 33 on critics?
Yeah, technically Letterboxd has the highest score for it, a 6.2.
Yeah, you're right.
Out of 10.
Yeah. Or a 62% for those of you
doing the math.
Yeah.
Or not doing the math, I guess. Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting. I feel like usually the originals have higher, at least, critic scores. People respect the originals. Not here. They don't respect this one.
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
No. This movie's fun and interesting because in theaters, audiences had to wear glasses in order to see the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little interactive element that I feel like would have made it more fun. Not to say that it wasn't fun, but more fun.
Yeah, that is very fun. And I feel like very, I can't think of the word. I was going to just say fashion forward for the 1960s. Technologically forward, I guess.
Innovative.
Is that how you say it?
No. Innovative.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I was like, have I been saying that wrong my whole life?
No.
What a crazy thing to learn. Yeah, very innovative. That's a good word for it.
Thank you.
For the 60s. For a black and white film.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything about why they chose to use black and white. But probably just for cost. If they were, They seemed really dead set on spending all of their money on the special effects. So
you could tell
maybe they wanted to save money by doing it in black and white instead.
Yeah, it wasn't required. And I know this because Wizard of Oz was the first movie in color, right?
I think so. One of the first, if not the first.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that came out in 1939.
Yes.
Long time ago.
I thought you were going to say because we watched Psycho and you said that you thought that they had to do it in Psycho and then we found out it was for costs.
Nope.
Got it. You forgot all about Psycho.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. No.
The Elaine Zacharides, I think is how you say her last name, Zacharides?
Sure.
Portrayed by Margaret Hamilton. So the witch in the movie, Elaine, portrayed by Margaret Hamilton. Margaret Hamilton played the Wicked Witch of the West in the original Wizard of Oz movie, which was a long time before this.
Yeah. Well, 20 years.
That's a long time in technological advancements.
That is true. Yeah, she does a little fourth wall break at the end of the movie, too, when she grabs her broom after being called a witch the whole time. Gives a little smirk at the audience.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, a little callback to... I mean, she was a witch in the movie, right? Do you think?
Sure.
Okay.
I think she, like, dealt with the dark arts, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Witch.
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 Absolutely.
But no, yeah, that was kind of fun. Cute, cutesy little Wizard of Oz thing.
Reference, yeah, reference, for sure.
Yes, reference. That's the word.
We'll get there. We'll figure out words.
Good at words, yeah.
Top tier at words today.
So good. Yeah, they did a really good job with special effects for the time that this was created, I felt like. And they even reused some of them in future movies. The flame effects shown as a ghost. Was then reused in the Star Trek movie from the 60s.
Yeah.
The late 60s. 1966 to be exact.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's been so many Star Trek movies. And I haven't seen a single one of them. Not even the one where the whole point of the movie is to save a singular whale. It's basically Free Willy in space. I haven't seen that one even.
Why is a whale in space?
I don't think the whale is in space. But like Star Trek is in space. I actually don't know.
Got
you should
it.
Watch that one.
Go for it. You let me know. I've never seen a Star Trek either, so.
Yeah.
I know.
It's just so surprised I haven't seen that one. Yeah. I personally.
It does feel very on brand for you. Space and whales, two of your favorite things.
Yeah. Maybe my two favorite, you know?
Yeah. Like if you had to choose.
Yeah.
Probably those.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lion ghost, which was a fun surprise. I didn't know that there was a lion ghost. I'd never seen the original, so.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Did I?
Assumed.
That is kind of the point.
That's the assumption, is that you haven't seen it. More rare when I haven't seen it. But the ghost, the lion that played the ghost, is the same lion that played Kitty Cat on the Addams Family.
Yay.
The name is Zamba. Was Zamba. Oh. And he appeared in numerous movies and TV shows around that time. So that's fun. And then Shadrach, the headless lion tamer, the ghost, was played by Zamba's real life trainer, Ralph Helfer.
Cute.
Yeah. Just two pals making movies together.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
We moved on too fast from that was my favorite fun fact, by the way.
But
We moved on too fast from references to other movies.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
I think that kind of was, though, because it was a reference to the Addams Family, so.
Oh, I guess. Sure.
Thank you. Yeah,
okay.
I stayed on track by going off track.
Yeah, well, more on track than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fly in one of the scenes hassling Hilda.
Yes.
Is how the fun fact was written. I'm not just reading it, I promise.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Some people think that was a sly reference to the film, The Fly, that Charles, I think it's Hebert.
Is it?
I think so. At least my band director in high school, whose name was spelled that way, it was Hebert. Who's to say? Either way, he was in The Fly 2 years earlier in 1950, so they think that it's a reference to The Fly.
Yeah, I love that you had one band teacher once that called it Herbert or Bear instead of Herbert.
Hebert.
And now you've decided everybody with that last name goes by that pronunciation.
Well, it's possible.
It is possible. Should we look it up? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, let's look it up.
It said Charles Herbert.
I'll take that as a no.
But I could only find the one website that had it, so maybe. Who's to say?
Herbert. Herbert it is.
Herbert it is.
It should be required to be famous that you say your name in a recording that is pinned to the top of the Google search results of your name.
Yeah, I don't think Google search was really a thing when Charles Herbert was working.
I know, but like now.
Now, yeah. I for sure.
Google is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of Charles Herbert, mm-hmm. William Castle was able to get him. He's very, 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 very popular child star at the time. Mm-hmm. And he got him to play Buck by offering him top billing, which is why his name appears first, despite not really being the main character. He's one of.
Yeah.
But typically, I feel like the kids are not listed first.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only appeared in two other movies that came out the same year. And then, like it happened back then, roles kind of dried up. Once he hit puberty, Hollywood didn't care about you anymore. So he kind of struggled later in his career to get roles, which is sad.
Yeah. He did some TV stuff, didn't he?
He did some television roles afterwards, but feature films. Nope.
No more.
Yeah.
Bummer. Usually that's more of a thing reserved for women, where your roles dry up when you hit puberty.
Or once you hit like 35.
25. Yeah, 35.
And you play a teenager until you're 30. And then you get about 5 years of playing an adult. And then
yeah.
no more role. And then you play mom. Once you're 36, mom.
Mom.
That's it.
Yep. Unnamed.
Yeah. I think it was pretty common back in the 60s, though, that child actors didn't really get to transition to adult actors.
Yeah. Which.
Kind of still the same.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to make that transition for a lot of young stars.
Yeah. Yeesh. Unrelated. I've been listening to a lot of Miley Cyrus recently. She needs.
That's kind of related.
Yeah. That's what made me think of it, is that it was absolutely related.
Yeah.
The house that this was filmed at,
mm-hmm.
very fun-looking house, still around. It's a museum. It's the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, not too far from L.A. Quick little day trip.
Quick little 6 to 7 hour drive.
Yeah, no big deal.
Probably cheaper to fly, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Flights are cheap to San Jose. The Winchester, they are, for the first time ever this year, partnering with 13th Floor Entertainment, which is really big in the haunted house space. Mm-hmm. They're doing a Fright Festival this year for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah, they're going to turn it into like a little haunted mansion.
Yeah, well, it is.
Well, like a...
Apparently.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. It is a haunted mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did use that for the exterior shots. They didn't use the main entrance. If you've ever seen like the street view of the house, it's a pretty iconic house if you've seen it. But it's not that. It's a side entrance. You can see the handrails on the stairs that are there for touring and stuff. Not what you'd typically see on a regular house, but
yeah. Fun.
Yeah.
It would be cool to go there and it'd be like all done up.
Mm-hmm.
For Halloween, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder if they lean into the 13 ghosts thing. I wonder if they'll have a live lion.
I doubt it.
Or a dead lion. A ghost lion.
Oh.
What was his name? The lion actor? He's back.
Zomba.
Yeah, he's back as a ghost.
Zomba's back. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any other fun facts?
No, I want to rate it.
Oh, okay.
Do you?
Yeah, of course God. I want to rate it.
Oh, I thought I was asking if you have any more fun facts.
Oh, I thought I see where the confusion happened. No, I mean, I do, but none that really I care about, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Should I rank the ghosts first or should we do the ratings first?
You rank these ghosts.
Okay.
And then I'll rank the 2001 ghosts, and then you can also rank the 2001 ghosts.
Okay. You can agree or disagree with my rank because you didn't rank the 60s ghosts.
No. This is the official Killer Cuties podcast ranking of the original 13 ghosts.
She's trusting me. I love that.
Yeah, as long as the lion's number one.
Well, come on. Of course it is, Katie.
Thank you.
I'm not an idiot. All right, at number 13, I have Ben Rush, which is the lawyer who tries to kill a kid. I think you can't try to kill a kid. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he goes last. 12 is the ghost of Zorba, the uncle, because why is he hoarding wealth? Come on. Yeah. I don't like millionaires. I don't like people who hoard wealth. So he goes last, or second to last.
Okay.
11 was the executioner holding the head. Because I just don't care.
Sure.
I don't care. I don't care about him. He's kind of boring.
Yeah. Also, 10, you're killing people. Why are you dead?
Yeah. State-sanctioned violence? No, thank you. You know what I mean? 10 is just the floating head, just because it wasn't cool enough. Like, a floating head is cool, but it was kind of lackluster.
Isn't that the name of a band?
Sure.
The Floating Heads?
The Lackluster Floating Heads. Yeah. I have no idea.
Talking heads.
Yeah. 9, I have the Italian chef's wife. Don't cheat on your partner. Come on. Yeah. At 8, I have the Italian chef's wife's lover. You get a little bit because you're not the one cheating, but also you know.
You're so cheating.
You're a part of the cheating.
You man over a woman.
That's- I did because I do think it's worse to be the one cheating on your partner than to be the one that they're cheating with.
Okay, fair.
Both gross, but one you're the one committing the betrayal there. Yeah. Yes. 7, I have the headless lion tamer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
it was kind of
put him a little higher, but okay.
That's fine. 6, I have the clutching hands because the design was really cool. I liked that a lot.
Wait, is the executioner holding the lion tamer's head? Is that the lion tamer's head?
No, I don't. Well, I don't. We don't know. It's never confirmed or said. Okay, there's a lot of heads around.
It's
the floating head could be the
lion. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of heads.
So many decapitations.
Yeah. Anyways, then at 6, or 5, I have the wailing lady. She was cool.
Okay.
4, I have the hanging lady because she was a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
3, I have the Italian chef because of the mustache alone. That was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
2, I have the fiery skeleton, just kind of on brand for me personally.
Sure.
And then 1, obviously, is Zomba the lion.
Yeah. 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 That checks out. I agree with that.
Thank you.
Well, the Ghost Rider, are you a fan of the Nicolas Cage classic Ghost Rider, flaming skeleton?
I've never seen it.
Oh, you would love it if that's your vibe. If your vibe is flaming skeletons...
Ghost Riders for me, huh?
Ghost Rider.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. There's a second one, too.
I'm okay. But I'll probably just end up watching National Treasure and then Pig.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm going to rewatch, or if I'm going to watch Nicolas Cage, you know. I want him at his best. And his best two films are National Treasure and Pig.
And Pig, yeah.
Yeah.
And National Treasure, too.
A close third, for sure. Yeah.
Fun. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with your ratings.
Thank you.
So seal of approval.
Appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you.
Thank you. See, line of approval. Or no? Okay. That does a lot better on whale watching boats.
I'm obsessed with you.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Let's rate it.
Rate it. We're rating it. Okay. How? You know, you go first.
Oh, fun. Okay. How scary did you think it was?
Thank you. Not at all. No.
Yeah.
It's just so rare in older films to get the tone to be frightening. So it's a 0.5 out of 5.
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah.
I also gave it a 0.5. It's, yeah. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's not scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I don't know. Was it supposed to be funny?
Probably not.
Nope. That's okay. Yeah. How sexy did you think it was?
I also gave it a 0.5.
Oh.
It didn't give me a lot of sex appeal. It felt like a family film.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you?
Well, I mean, there's a little something about inheriting a mansion. And it does have ghosts in it.
Two very sexy things.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I gave it a 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Ghosts and mansions.
Yeah. Inheriting a mansion for free?
A mansion for free? Dream.
That's sex.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're right.
Thank you.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.
Oh, okay.
Because of the, like, I didn't see the child murderer thing coming. I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention enough.
Oh.
That little, like, side story of this guy's going to kill a child. I didn't see it coming. So, like, you know, I just gave it a little sprinkle.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I give it a 0.5.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do it, you know. If he had done it, maybe.
Yeah. They didn't kill kids back then. In the 60s, kids weren't killed. Ever. In real life or fiction.
Sure.
It was a different time.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, overall.
Overall, it felt like they just figured out, which is probably true, that they just figured out how to do these special effects. Mm-hmm. So they were like, hey, how much can we put in this movie? And it's every second of the movie is just these now very silly practical, like, special effects. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I started laughing so hard when the kid is, like, staring at the lion, and it's just showing that for, like, 5 minutes, and it's the longest scene ever. And I think if they were going for scary, there really didn't feel like any stakes whatsoever, because the ghosts did not ever attack anybody.
Yeah.
They seemed very docile, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel like they focused too much on these special effects, which were fun, but really, the characters weren't that likable because of that. There wasn't a lot of development. The plot was pretty bare bones. So I gave it a 2 out of 5. It wasn't my favorite. What about you? Yeah.
I didn't hate it like you.
Yeah. I. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I thought it was kind of fun. It was silly.
Yeah.
I do love the concept of audiences having to sort of, like, wear glasses to see the ghosts and the characters in the film also having to wear glasses.
That's
unique. And there's basically no movies that have that sort of, like, participation element like that.
Mm-hmm.
The acting wasn't bad. The effects weren't bad. You were right. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah. But I gave it a 3.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. It was a good time.
Okay.
And I did have to watch it twice. I watched it once a long time ago, like Sunday.
Oh,
And
I thought you meant, like, you realized you'd seen it before.
No. On Sunday. And then as a refresher, I watched it again in 3X speed.
Wow.
And it was so fun on 3X speed. Just stuff was, like, flying everywhere. And there was always someone, a ghost on the screen. And I didn't have to sit through the 5 minutes of the lion being on. Not that that was not enjoyable, but, you know.
It wasn't not enjoyable. It was just so silly.
Yeah, it was silly, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very silly movie.
I liked it. I liked how silly it was.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. I think after watching this, this is not the one that Hung Cha-chi, what's his name?
Hung Cha-chi, yeah.
Yeah, that Hung Cha-chi recommended for us to watch.
No.
But
if someone recommends 13 Ghosts, it's always the 2001 version.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would say 99% of the time they are talking about the remake.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know who else is talking about the remake?
Us.
Right now.
Wait. Would you survive the original?
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, nobody dies except the people are already dead.
Yeah.
So, you know. And I'm not attempting to kill a kid that then gets me killed. So,
of course.
I'm alive.
Great.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, the ghosts seem pretty docile.
Yeah.
They're not doing much harm. They're kind of just playing out the same things over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem. Yeah. It doesn't seem like that dangerous of a situation.
Sure.
I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Good. Well, excellent.
Great.
Now that we ruined that perfect segue.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We could try to do another one.
No.
All right. Well, since we can't think of a good segue, let's just hop in, huh?
Yeah. I'll give us a little summary of the 2001 remake. The 2001 remake of 13 Ghosts stars Matthew Lillard, Tony Shalhoub, and Embeth Davids, and has a very similar plot, but in this version, the house seems to have a mind of its own and is filled with a maze of moving glass walls. There's still the ghosts. There's still the dead cousin, uncle, whatever he is. And they go and inherit the house, and there's ghosts in it.
Yep.
The remake had a $42 million budget and earned $68.5 million at the global box office. In 2005, it was added to Roger Ebert's list of most hated films, but has since garnered a healthy cult following and is much beloved. It has a 2.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and a 19% critics and 49% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So similar Letterboxd and IMDb scores, not similar Rotten Tomatoes scores.
No. It was also directed by Steve Beck.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah, and the screenplay was by Neil Marshall Stevens and Richard D'Ovito. I don't think I said that right. Apologies. But obviously based on the original story by Rob White.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, that's okay. We got him in there.
Yeah, directors aren't like critical to a film, so.
I'll let James Cameron know.
Well.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's mad at me right now anyway.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I watched the leaked trailer for Avatar 3.
Oh, yeah. Why would you do that, Katie, to him?
I'm not going to not watch it if it's out, so. You should have kept better control of your trailer, James.
You're really coming for his throat today, huh?
You started it. You brought James Cameron into this.
I thought I was, you know, pulling a fast one on you.
No, it is I who's pulled a fast one on James Cameron.
Incredible. Speaking of the director that you don't care about, this was Steve Beck's directorial debut. And after this film, he only went on to direct one more film, which was Ghost Ship, kind of similarly themed ghost. And also, I think the second movie that Dark Castle Entertainment did after this film.
Dark Castle.
It flopped as well.
Yeah, they both did.
Yeah.
Dark Castle Entertainment, by the way, the goal of Dark Castle was to remake a bunch of William Castle horror films. That was the original plan. And then Ghost Ship was an original screenplay. That didn't go well. This didn't go well.
So then they were like, let's do William Castle movies. Tried the original. Didn't do well.
Yeah.
Critical failure. I've seen Ghost Ship. We'll watch it eventually.
Well, you know what's funny is that I told somebody just randomly, oh, yeah, I watched 13 Ghosts over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I never did see that one, but I have seen Ghost Ship. And I was like, I don't think that they know that the relationship between the two of them.
Yeah. So it was, I think it's just another quintessential early 2000s film.
Sure.
Because it also has garnered a very large cult following now.
Yeah.
Similarly to 13 Ghosts. I don't remember a single thing about Ghost Ship except the opening scene. Because that's what everybody talks about. The opening scene is like one of the most iconic opening scenes in horror.
Okay.
Rest of the movie, Nothing. I got nothing.
Interesting.
But I remember the opening.
Yeah. When she said that, she's like, oh, yeah, but I like Ghost Ship. I was like, well, have you ever seen Triangle?
Also, ship.
With ghosts.
Had they?
No.
Oh. They should?
I know. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I was like, if you like Ghost Ship, by the name alone.
If you like horror movies on ships, boy, do I have a film for you.
I have a film for you.
Yeah.
One of the reshoots for this film was, unfortunately, on September 11, 2001. And the crew heard about it. They had a little moment of silence. And then I guess Steve Beck was noticeably shaken for the rest of the day, which, like, granted.
Oh, yeah.
You would be.
Yeah. I feel like we've mentioned this happening on a few other movies. Wasn't it 28 Days Later that happened, too?
Yeah. Well, I feel like they didn't even know that it happened, right? Because they were, like, on an island or something?
No, I feel like they heard that it happened.
Oh, I might be thinking of an episode of Survivor.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. But, yeah, I feel like any movie that was filming around that time, obviously, there's no way to not hear about it.
Yeah.
It was on every news channel ever. And I can't imagine. I mean, it's fucked up to think about because it's like you can't stop because production, mm-hmm. that's just not how production works. But it's also, I can't imagine having to continue on with your day when something like that has happened.
Yeah.
Wild. This movie, more so than the original, really went all in on the ghosts. I feel like they created backstories for all of them, which I'm not going to go through because it's a lot, but you can find them all online. Give full backstories. It doesn't do it in the film, but I think it was on the DVD commentary or the DVD special extras or whatever that we used to get, which I am kind of sad we don't get anymore.
Yeah, we don't get that anymore.
I guess people who still watch DVDs and Blu-rays, but everything's so streaming friendly now that it's just not a thing. But yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
For sure.
Gives a little bit more depth.
Yeah, they're available in the trivia section of the IMDb listing for the 2001 version, if anybody's interested.
Yeah, there's also like numerous articles. I think there's a Wikipedia page for it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
You can find them.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good segue into should we rank them while we're talking about it? And then we can come back to fun facts?
Sure.
Yeah, let's switch it up a little.
Yeah, let's get crazy.
Yeah. Here, I'll share my screen.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Oh, they really did the Bound Woman dirty there.
Yeah, not the best.
Yeah, maybe the worst angle they could have chosen for that photo.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Okay, all right. Let's, I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, so the child, great child, not doing it for me. Wait, are there 12 or 13? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's number 12.
Oh, okay. Did you rank based on vibe or did you rank based on backstory included?
Vibes alone.
Oh, okay. I might have to change mine because I did not. I ranked it based on backstory and vibes a little bit.
Oh, okay. Okay. This is just purely vibes for me.
Okay. If I go pure vibes, I agree.
Okay. Thank you. Then I'm going to have to do the Dire Mother. She's not doing it for me.
Okay. I think they have such a tragic backstory that I feel sympathy for them, you know?
Oh, what is it? What's the backstory that makes you feel sympathy?
They were like in a traveling circus.
Mm-hmm.
And she was raped.
Oh, no.
By the tall man. And then that's how the child came to be. Yes. And then they kill, like, the other carnival people kill the mom. And then the son kills all of them. Yeah.
Wait, so is the firstborn son? Wait, who's the tall man?
He's just the like the tall guy at the carnival.
Oh, God.
He's not a part of this. Yeah.
Is the firstborn son and the great child, are those Dire Mother's children?
No, the firstborn son is unrelated. The great child is her son. That's why he's so big, because he was a product of that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, then at least I put them together.
Yeah. If I'm going based on design.
Vibes.
Then yeah, I kind of agree. They are bottom for me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Firstborn son is next for me personally, because he's boring. He's got an arrow sticking out of his head and it's boring. He's also shot from behind. Not as exciting.
I think next for me might be the Torn Prince. Sports. I don't care.
Oh, okay. Sports?
Yeah, he's got the baseball bat and everything.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't care about sports.
I like sports a little more than you do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I think you're on the right track, though. I think he's next.
I was going to say firstborn son is next for me.
Okay, there you go. We just switch him around a little.
Yeah.
Okay, my 8 is going to be... I didn't do this ahead of time. Can you tell?
No, you're killing it.
Based on this picture alone, it would that's be Bound Woman. But that's not fair. You're right. I think I'm going to go with Juggernaut.
Oh, okay.
It's just a zombie.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, just a zombie.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go Withered Lover.
Oh.
Her design is fine. But I feel like I like her more because of who she is in the film rather than design itself.
Yeah, I think you're right, honestly. Yeah, I think you're right. I'll put her at 7.
Okay. I'll actually put Juggernaut at 7.
Wow. Okay. There we go. Look at us.
Yeah. We're
who'd have thought?
Only mildly disagree.
Yeah. Okay. Torso bothers me a little.
Oh, okay.
That's not their fault.
Yeah.
But that's next for me.
Okay. Next for me is going to be the Bound Woman.
Okay. And you want to know something funny? Is I will put the Bound Woman next. Bound Woman's 5. Because.
Great.
Reasons.
I think this is getting ridiculous, but I think Torso's next for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're kind of in the same little bubble here. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, I think at least one of the times you've been correct and I was wrong. So.
Great.
Okay.
Now we're getting into the top 5 is like where it gets tricky, because they're all really great designs.
Yeah. I think number 4, just because it's a little underwhelming and we've seen it before, Pilgrimess.
Okay. I agree. I think her story would put her higher for me, but her design falls short a little bit.
Okay.
Especially because she's not featured that much in the movie, too. Like, you don't really get to, like, see a lot of her.
Yeah.
Kind of unfortunate, but.
Sure.
Can I go next?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think next. How did you know? You moved your mouse over to what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The Jackal. The Jackal is next. I do think that that's a sick design with, like, the cage around his head and everything.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, we've seen it. But I love
the other two, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Jackal number 3.
Okay. And then?
Number 2 is the hammer.
Yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
And number princess. 1 is the angry princess. Which is so funny, because you asked me last episode if I had a favorite. And I immediately was like, oh, angry princess. And then I was like, maybe I'll watch it and I'll change my mind. Because it's been a while since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I didn't. She's so sick. I love her.
Yeah,
although technically she was not my number 1 on my listing, because I included the 13th ghost, Dennis, my love, Matthew Lillard.
Yeah,
technically, honestly, he is the 13th ghost in the house, because he is the first human to die and his ghost appears. So technically, I would consider him the 13th ghost,
and
but he's not part of the Black Zodiac of the 12 ghosts that are involved. So,
yeah. And I would have agreed with you there without question.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You're not an idiot.
Yeah. Number zero, S tier, Matthew Lillard.
Always.
Yeah, always. In our hearts. Mm-hmm. And in real life. Okay, good. I'm glad that we took the time to do that.
Me too. And I'm glad we mostly agreed.
Yeah. A couple fun facts about the ghosts themselves.
Please.
The Angry Princess, despite being pretty low, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, compared to others, low production, like she didn't have a lot going on with her. She just had scarring on her face, whatever. Took the longest to apply her makeup. It took 5 hours to apply her makeup.
See, that doesn't surprise me. Because she would have had to have prosthetics all over.
True.
Whereas a lot of the other people just had costume that covered most of it. And then their face was done up.
Yeah.
She kind of had to have full body. So I could see that taking longer. But I also thought it was interesting how in the fun facts, it said that she took the longest at 5 hours. But it apparently also took John DeSantis, who plays the Juggernaut, 5 hours. So probably similar timing there. Maybe his just took a little bit less.
Yeah. And see, I would have thought for sure that the hammer would have taken longer because of the size of the prosthetics and the amount of them. I mean, it's mostly upper body only, but
still, yeah, he had a lot going on.
Yeah, for sure. Tell him about the torso.
Okay. The torso effect was achieved by using an actual double amputee, and then they just put a hood over his head so that they could digitally remove that in post-production, which I think is fun.
Yeah, practical and digital.
Yeah, and I also think if you're going to do something like that, why not give someone that opportunity instead of digitally removing all the limbs from someone?
Yep.
Give a double amputee the actual opportunity to have a role. That's cool.
Yeah, I agree. What movie do you recognize Embeth Davids from other than this one?
Let me look at her face. Nothing.
Oh, sad.
Let me look at her credits. Have I seen her in anything?
She plays Miss Honey in Matilda. Did you not grow up watching Matilda?
Oh.
She's like the sweet teacher that adopts her at the end?
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of her now, so maybe that's why it's not connecting.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I guess, yeah, in the movie, I can see that.
Yeah.
I did like Matilda.
Yeah, I really
I haven't seen that in forever.
Oh, it's such a good movie. The soundtrack slaps.
Nice.
Anyway, that's, I think, the only movie that I know her from, or that I even know that she's in.
I just looked it up. She was also in Schindler's List. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. I know the soundtrack for that one. I've never seen it.
There you go.
That's a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kalina's death, where she's crushed. That's where Embeth Davids comes in, where mm-hmm. she's crushed between two glass panels. Apparently, that was originally much gorier. I say much gorier as if it was gory. Like, it really wasn't that gory.
It cut away.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, as she's being.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
I think.
Or was there, the beginnings of a pop before?
There was a little bit, and then, it cut away. It definitely cut away. But anyway, there was supposed to be, her eyes were popping out, brains were squirting out of crevices.
Mm-hmm.
But that was cut down. So it was filmed. It was done. But they cut it down in the end because the director's like, it'll just give it an NC-17, and we will never be able to financially recover from it.
Yeah.
Bummer. I'd like to see that cut, please. NC-17 cut of 13 Ghosts. I bet there's a Facebook group for that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mr. Beck, please. Mm-hmm. He doesn't own that. The production company, please.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers.
I'm sure people have been asking for it.
Probably.
Yeah. Any other fun facts about the 2001 version of 13 Ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say Herbert Duncanson, he plays the Hammer. He wasn't originally hired as an actor for that part. He was just supposed to be a stand-in for the test shots. Mm-hmm. But the original actor that was cast never showed up. So that's how he got the role. They were like, you've been doing it already, so it's you.
Wow.
Yeah, there wasn't any time to hold auditions because it was such a last minute thing.
Can you imagine just not showing up to your first day of filming something?
No.
Like, in such a forward facing career, like, that has to, like, they probably never acted again.
Probably not.
I wonder who it was.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one. I like this one. This is the first film from a major American studio with three Arab American leads: Tony Shalhoub, F. Murray Abraham, and Shannon Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Diverse.
Yeah. F. Murray Abraham also said he only did this movie for the cash.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I get. It's a job. So I feel like you do a lot of movies for the cash. But I feel like, yeah, there is that aspect of in acting. You want to take roles that you really like. I feel like people say that a lot, though, when the movie flops. They're like, well, I only did it for the cash, you know, in hindsight. Or they apologize for it, like Batman and Robin, 1997. How, like, George Clooney keeps trying to refund people's tickets. And I need them to stop.
Yeah.
When a movie becomes a cult classic, stop apologizing for doing it.
Yeah, what? It's at that point that you should own it.
Yeah. I think you should be proud of the fact that you were in Batman and Robin 1997 and 13 Ghosts 2001.
Yeah.
Because they have enough fans. Yeah. Maybe Batman and Robin doesn't, but I do. I am a fan, so.
Yeah. Just talk about how much fun you had on set and how much fun it was to make it and how much fun you hope audiences had watching it.
Yeah.
It's a fun, silly fun time.
Maybe they didn't, though. Maybe it was a horrible filming experience and the only thing they can say about it is that they did it for the cash, which also I respect. I'm not judging you if you did a movie just for the cash, but
I don't know.
Yeah.
Tony Shalhoub is also in some pretty campy flops that ended up being cult classics.
Yeah.
Spy Kids.
Okay. Don't ever call that a flop. Not in my presence.
Well, it commercially was.
Spy Kids?
Yeah, wasn't it?
They made four of them, so I doubt it.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Commercially, no.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, you're right, you're right. I still think it's a cult classic. What?
Spy Kids?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a cult classic. It has to not do well. It's just a classic? It did well.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
You better not be.
No, I'm not. I love that movie.
Yeah, I think it did well, though, when it first came out. So I don't think it's... I think for it to be a cult classic, it has to not do well. And then garner support afterwards.
Yeah. All I remember about seeing that movie in theaters was how I walked out of the theater.
Oh.
Because the music that was playing and, like, I just watched a super cool spy movie. I was like, hell yeah. You know? Like, feeling something when I was walking down. Maybe it was bisexuality. I don't know what it was I was feeling. But I felt something walking out of the theater.
Good.
Yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other fun facts about 13 Ghosts or Spy Kids?
No. No. I could talk about Spy Kids some more, but
yeah,
that's not what people are here for.
They might be.
Who's to say?
They tune in every week hoping we bring up Spy Kids.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Today's your day. All right, let's read it.
Okay.
How scary do you think it was?
I gave it a 1. I don't think it's scary. But I did originally watch this before I liked horror movies, so it did scare me the first time I saw it.
Okay.
So I gave it a little bump because of that.
Sure.
What about you?
I gave it a 1.5.
Okay.
For Children in Peril, and I watched it in the dark.
Very fair.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I had another fun fact, though.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, real quick. There's one part where Dennis and... Matthew Lillard and Tony Shalhoub are walking through the house. Mm-hmm. And Matthew Lillard keeps repeating, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. And I didn't see that anywhere in the fun facts, but I thought that was a fun little Wizard of Oz reference, which the first one does too.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Except nobody from the Wizard of Oz was in this one.
Well, no, but it's kind of an homage to the original.
Sure. Yeah. That the Wicked Witch of the West is in it.
Exactly.
That's cute. Yeah. I didn't catch that.
I didn't see it listed anywhere. As soon as he did it, because I watched them back to back, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyways, that's me shoving in another fun fact.
Good one. That was a good one.
Thank you.
An original. A Killer Cuties podcast original.
You won't find that on IMDb. How sexy did you think it was?
I don't know, man. Alexander Minion from Spy Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Honey from Matilda.
Mm-hmm.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Uh-huh. Allison's dad from Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Wait, what?
That's the lawyer.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I didn't even recognize him. I haven't seen Teen Wolf in like a year. It's been like a year since I watched and stopped.
I hate you for it, too. Yeah. Stopped right before the best part, the best season. The only reason to watch, really.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's on my list to go back to. Anyway, I think all of those give it a point. Also, half a point for women covered in gore.
Yeah.
So I gave it 4.
Correct.
Thank you.
I gave it a 4 as well. I think, honestly, Matthew Lillard's worth like 2 points just on his own.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed with the rest of the cast, mixed with the ghosts.
Yep.
It's a recipe for success, let me tell you what.
Yeah. How fucked up did you think it was?
I am just realizing that I didn't write down a score for that.
Okay.
So clearly I was contemplating.
Do it with your heart.
I think...
Read what you have to say. Say what you have to say first, and then just spit it out.
Oh, okay.
So I gave it a...
I think there are kids in peril. The ghost backstories, some of those are pretty fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Those aren't in the film.
That's true. I do think, okay, I'm going to give it a 1 because I'll give it half a point for him getting cut in half, the lawyer.
That was so fun. I liked that a lot.
That was so much fun. And that, at the time I watched this movie, that was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. And it shook me to my core.
Sure.
9-year-old Cassidy was just losing her goddamn mind. Oh, let me tell you what.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. What about you?
We weren't 9.
No, but I think I didn't watch it until it was out. Okay. I didn't see this in theaters. Jesus.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
I was probably, honestly, I was probably closer to like 10 or 11 when I saw it for the first time.
Sure, sure. Okay. I mean, there was some pretty gory stuff in this. And the director even mentioned that if he had made it even a little bit more gory, it would have gotten NC-17. He was worried about that.
Yeah.
So all things considered, I gave it a 2.
Mm. Valid.
Yeah.
I think I would give it a 1.5 or a 2 if I could include the ghost backstories.
Okay, yeah. That's
because I do think some of them are really sad. You should read them.
I will.
They're great.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to
do. I love the effort they put into it.
I want to watch this movie again.
Yeah. Knowing what you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Overall, what did you think of the remake, 13 Ghosts?
I get a little nervous
with
cult classics nowadays. Mm-hmm. Because there's a reason why they call them that, for one.
Yeah.
But this one, I think... they fucking hit the nail on the head. This deserves to be a cult classic. I fucking get it, man. I get it. I don't know what more you can ask from a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Monk from the TV show Monk.
Yeah, Mr. Monk himself.
And Shaggy from Scooby-Doo
mm-hmm.
fighting ghosts together, becoming ghosts together. The effects were stunning. The acting was immaculate. It was just so campy and rompy and cinematic. I loved it. I also had to watch it twice, once on regular speed and once on 3X speed. And it was great both times, both ways. Mm-hmm. There was maybe a little opportunity with sound editing. And it was kind of like flashy which made it a little hard to watch.
Yeah.
But overall, so fun. I gave it a 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to watch it again. I want to watch it all the time. It's like fun horror, you know? It's just fun. I mean, all horror is fun now, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, this movie's the most early 2000s movie to ever early 2000s. It is so, it's like a time capsule of early 2000s horror. I love Matthew Lillard. I love anything he's in. I love the ghosts. I like the backstories that they gave them. I think it's much better than the original, if I'm being honest. Sorry, Mr. Castle. Definitely understand why it is a cult classic, and I would consider myself part of that cult. Mm-hmm. Editing-wise, horrible. Just unbelievable, the choices that they made.
Yeah.
And the sound, I couldn't believe you gave it that high, because I know how much sound means to you, and the sound is terrible in this. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
So bad. All in all, I think critically, I would give it a 3.
Sure.
Emotionally, I would give it a 4. So I split the difference and I gave it a 3.5.
Really?
Yeah. Because I do think the editing is... They deserve a slap on the wrist for that. That was atrocious.
Yeah, the editing is not good.
Yeah, and it was overacted at points.
No way.
But I don't mind because it is so campy that it's fine. I'll take it, you know?
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
I think it was perfect. Perfectly acted. It was acted perfectly. The nanny? Are you joking?
Oh, perfect. She was the best. She didn't overact. I think my dear sweet love Matthew Lillard definitely overacted in points. But that's why I love him so much. He overacted at the end of Scream too, and it was perfect.
It's
so.
Just what he does. It's how he
it matches the tone.
Yeah. Also, you said that you like him, or you love every movie that he's ever been in. You do not love FNAF. You didn't like FNAF. So you're a liar. I'm a fraud.
That's so true. But in my defense, they didn't utilize him as much as they could, which I get they couldn't, but that movie was bad. I'm so sorry.
Well,
maybe the next one will be good.
Yeah,
he's in the next one. I love him in that movie. Does that help?
Yeah. That's not what you said, though. You said you love anything that he's in.
Yeah, that's true.
You love him in anything he's in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love 99% of Matthew Lillard movies. I love him in 100% of movies.
That he's in, yes. Correct.
Even if he's not in it and they mention him, love it.
Yeah. Does that happen a lot?
No, never. But maybe one day.
When we make a movie, we'll mention him.
It'll just be 90 minutes of us talking about Matthew Lillard.
Yeah. Much like what you've just listened to.
Exactly.
Just kidding. We didn't talk about him nearly enough as he deserves.
I know. So sorry.
This was going to be the movie that we reviewed with him.
In our delusions, when we one day got Matthew Lillard on the pod, we were going to talk about this movie with him.
And maybe we will in 5 years when we're revisiting all the movies we've already watched, because we've watched them all.
And there's no more horror movies because Katie said they're going to stop. They're not in fashion anymore.
They're not in fashion. Yeah, I did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, comedy's coming back. Unfortunately, for everyone.
Comedy's making a big resurgence.
Yeah.
Horror's out.
Yeah. It's a shame. Anyway, we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back with Matthew Lillard. We're going to re-review 13 Ghosts.
And Scream.
And Scream. And FNAF 2. FNAF 4, probably at that point.
All 8 FNAFs we're going to talk about. All right. Would you survive the remake?
Odds are a little lower in this one.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think my strategy when I realize that a house is out to get me and there's like sliding glass windows that could potentially chop me in half, I think I'm just being still.
Mm.
So that's either like, okay, yeah, you're not going to get killed by the house, but you could get killed by a ghost.
Yeah.
I think I'm dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were really hyping yourself up just to tear yourself down there at the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, there's no fight left in me, so.
Okay.
If I'm just sitting there and a ghost pops up, I'm dead.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's Matthew Lillard's ghost. Then I'm living. I'm doing everything I can to live.
You're popping up in more than one place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
How about you?
I think, I'm not sure, because if I'm putting myself in this situation, I think the only person I would be the nanny, the housekeeper.
Okay. Nanny.
Maggie. I would probably be Maggie's character working for the family. And she lives.
Yeah, she does.
So I feel like that might be the route I'm taking, is that I'm just like this side character that's just quitting working for the family after that. Because I respect that. The ending of this movie is very funny.
Yes.
So yeah, I feel like I'm probably sticking with Matthew Lillard's character, because look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he sacrifices himself for the greater good. So I think I live.
And then he gets to be a ghost.
Yeah, so maybe I would stay in the house, but. Well, good. I'm glad we finally talked about this.
Me too.
Thank you again to Hong Chachi for the recommendation. We liked it. We really liked it.
I can't believe I liked it more than you did. That's
great. I honestly am very surprised by a 4.0. I knew you were going to like it, because duh. But I didn't think you were going to give it that high because of the sound.
That's the only reason I deducted any points from it.
You deducted 2 points from 28 Days Later because of the sound.
No. Not
you
just
gave it a
for the
3
sound.
Out of 5.
Not just for the sound.
Okay, what else was wrong with it? Because that's the only thing you mentioned.
Okay, well, this one was more fun than that one. I had a really good time watching this twice.
Good. Anyways, do you want to predict next week's movie?
Yes.
Great. Tell me about The Orphanage.
Yeah. The Orphanage is a 90s horror movie. It was made in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about an orphanage.
Great.
In which one of the children has night terrors.
Mm-hmm.
Wakes up every night, goes and kills another one of the kids.
Oh, wow.
Or the staff. Just one person.
Yeah.
One person gets killed every night, starting on the full moon.
Oh, okay.
And then it ends on the new moon.
Got it.
And then you get a little break.
Cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a little break. And you don't know which kid it is, because they're all normal during the day. And in the 90s, we didn't have the security camera situation in like rural areas. That was like reserved for like businesses and stuff. And the mm-hmm. orphanage is in more of a rural area. So they didn't have security footage, and there was no way to know who it was. And the staff that would stay up and watch were the ones that were being picked off.
Mm-hmm.
So you just had to stay in your bed in hopes that you weren't next.
Damn.
Yeah.
And how does it end?
It doesn't. It doesn't end. It's still happening.
It's still happening to this day.
Yeah.
Damn.
This orphanage is still.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just keep bringing kids.
Yeah, you'd think they'd shut down.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think maybe only one kid dies on the full moon, and it happens every month.
Oh, okay. So it's not mass killings anymore.
Yeah. That way it can continue, you know?
Got it. Is it werewolf related, or is
no,
random that it's on the moon?
Yeah, it's just got to be cyclical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, great.
Werewolves in an orphan movie?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
No, you're wrong.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
What year did it come out?
It came out in 2007.
I wasn't too far off.
10 years.
8.
I guess, yeah, you didn't specify when in the 90s.
Yeah, so. I just said the 90s.
That's very fair. It is Spanish language.
Oh, okay. You
get another foreign film in there.
Hooray.
Yeah. And
the last Spanish language movie that we watched fucking slapped.
I don't remember what it was.
One where she's like carrying the kid and like eating his brains.
Oh.
And I was like, I hope it's just a kid in makeup. And it was. Devil.
That was South America. When Evil Lurks.
When Evil Lurks.
That was South America though, right?
I think so.
Yeah. This one's from Spain, I believe.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's an international co-production between Spain and Mexico. Great.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Wow. The two Spanish-speaking, the big ones.
The big ones. Yeah.
I mean, there's more than two.
There are many more than two Spanish-speaking countries, yeah. It's the big ones, though. It's often mistakenly said that this movie was directed by Guillermo del Toro. It was not. He produced it.
Oh, like they're doing with him and Jordan Peele.
Yes, how they're saying, oh, it's Jordan Peele's next movie. It's not directed by Jordan Peele. He's producing it.
Yeah.
Correct. This was, I think the guy who directed it, Jay Boyana, said, like asked Guillermo del Toro to produce it because they're friends. So,
oh, yeah. They're friends. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into it. Does Guillermo del Toro do horror movies? Yeah. Does he?
Yeah, I think it toes the line a lot in what he does. Like, I think Pan's Labyrinth sometimes is classified as horror because it has those elements to it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I would say yes. I think he's done also some of his earlier films, like Kronos and The Devil's Backbone are more, I think they lean more into it.
Yeah.
But he's definitely towed the line on a lot of his films. Oh, Crimson Peak, too. He did that. That's horror. We'll talk about that.
Was that a show?
No, Crimson Peak is a film.
Oh, what was I thinking of?
I don't know.
The guy from Crash is in it. The terrible cop from Crash. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I hate that movie.
It was a very formative experience when I watched that movie for the first time, so...
I watched it as a fully grown adult with a fully functioning brain, and that shit was ass.
I was in middle school.
Yeah, a middle schooler is going to watch that and think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I absolutely did.
Once your brain is developed, you're like, excuse me? This won Oscars?
Crimson Peak? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you said, Crimson Peak?
That's what I said, yes. Crimson Peak.
Damn. I thought I just had a revelation.
No, sorry. But we will watch that eventually. Fine. So yeah, we'll get into Del Toro for sure here on the pod.
Cool, cool, cool.
But not next week, just producing. I'm excited though. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys sticking around this long.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to like and subscribe. Let us know in the comments what news we didn't cover this week. And what your favorite, please give us your rankings of the 13 ghosts. That's what I want.
I want that too. And remember at the beginning of the podcast, when I was like, I have something else I was going to say. I just remembered what it was.
What?
It had to do with news.
Oh, what?
And how stupid it is that they're not just casting Evan Rachel Wood for the daughter in Practical Magic 2. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's crazy. Anyway, there you go. There's your news.
There's your news. We're pissed.
Yeah. Everybody Breaking is. News. You should see the TikTok comments.
Breaking news. People are very upset right now.
Yeah, so upset.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll catch you next week.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.